grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Amen. We warmly welcome everyone on behalf of all of us here at First Presbyterian and all those in our community who have been touched by Louise over the years and who've shared their gifts with her as well. We especially welcome and thank Janie Lopez, who's been at the hub of Louise's life work and philanthropy for decades and has coordinated her home care as of late. We're honored by the loyal service of Betty Curtis and Henrietta Cruz, Lupe Garcia, Linda Colasso, and Susie Ortiz. We welcome and thank them for sharing this time in celebration and memory. St. Paul wrote this to his loyal friend, Timothy. I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Louise not only kept the faith, she kept our faith alive by witness and service. So we press on and honor her memory by living what she taught us about dignity and honor and humility and humor. Let us pray. Our God of grace and glory, we remember and honor Louise today, and we thank you for giving her to us to know and to love. By your compassionate presence, console us in our mourning. Inspire in us the confidence of a certain faith, the comfort of a holy hope, and the peace which passes all understanding through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. One of Louise's favorite hymns, interestingly enough, the national anthem of a country she loved. Be Still My Soul, hymn 819, the first verse, please. Family's many friends, mentors, and guides is Father Malcolm Neeland, and we welcome him for some thoughts and his insight and his friendship.
I think he's taller than me. I was taught by the Query family never to presume anything, even the mic's position. I'm really humbled beyond the proper words. I look over here and the pews are empty, and it made me think and remember how much Giles and Louise had accomplished in their lifetime. And so I would like to share a few things that are very personal. I was a priest of only a young priest, maybe 5 years, when I first met Giles and Louise. And that was over 40 years ago. I always saw Giles as my surrogate father and Louise as my surrogate mother. It may sound strange, but because I had a lovely family myself. Louise and my mother were the same age. I remember them traveling to Rome on some occasions and just having a lot of fun. I was dressed in a Roman collar, visiting Cardinal's Stoic firm, proper, and then we'd go have some drinks. To speak of Louise and about her, I cannot without speaking about her spouse. Co-equally. Perhaps a little known knowledge or awareness to many of us, and I've witnessed this personally on countless occasions. Absolutely no decisions were ever made by one without the other. Louise's approval, her knowledge, she was a very smart woman. She always played behind the scenes, as it were, but she was in front of the scene. My presence among them together witnessed a relationship of decision making, which I hope I can use during my remaining years. And I'm going to give you just a few examples how those decisions affected the lives of you, every one of you, and this community of post Lubbock. Midland is starting with in Austin University and so forth. It's very broad, but I'm trying to concentrate on here as much as possible. The whole concept of the OS Museum was not Giles. It was Louise's. She got tired of Giles coming back from the trip, purchasing things, and putting them underneath the guest room bed. I'll never forget the first night I slept in their home. Mary, the mattress was very hard. And it was very lumpy. However, I found out the next morning was because your dad had put a lot more things under the bed than what it could take. So Louise sent him out, and the museum is here today. The Garza Theater, Louise's participation behind the scenes was very much evident. Giles, I'm sorry, was not that excited about it. Louise said it was an essential necessity. It is there today. The County Historical Museum. Now, he had a museum, but he supported, encouraged, and made it a point that the County Museum shined forth more than his personal museum from his travels. Louise saw to it that wasn't enough. He was also to help renovate the building next to the Historical Museum of Post into a house that had been used by the original doctors and nurses during the C.W. Post's time. He did that. He listened very well to Louise, I could use for you. Hotel Garza, another code. Mutual and equal decision making. The Ragtime Theater. Giles was not that excited about it, I'm sorry. But Louise was, and he entrapped him into enjoying every minute of it. Her support during Giles's 22 years as the mayor of the city. 1969 to 1991. Every decision and everything. That's okay, I don't need it. And this is a bill from Charles and Louise that I didn't have. I love those too, I tell you. Anyway, National Ranching Heritage Center in Lubbock. Very, very instrumental in that, especially the outdoor aspect of the museum. Louise and I and Giles were at that dedication, and he didn't want to be recognized because Louise had told him that it's best that we stay out of the front of appreciations. And I remember her husband saying, "I don't understand. What do you mean?" She says, Others must increase. We must decrease. We have been blessed and fortunate, yes, but the majority of the world is not. Giles began and Louise began together taking care of many, many people, silently, without fanfare, and kept as Louise had wished, not up front. It was Louise who requested and encouraged me, Mary and Giles Jr. and immediate family. I think most of y'all thought I invited myself on the world trips. I didn't. I'm a little Lubbock native, okay? And I've never been out of the county until the first trip we took. And needless to say, I ended up in the Amazon. So that may account for some of my logic. But she asked me to go with her husband. I was hesitant, but she assured me that I had to go because she could no longer go with him because of failing health, or she'd already been there before, or whatever. But she always had, the excuse was, she wanted somebody to go with him. I asked her why. It's not going to be easy, is it? She said, "Malcolm," and I began to quote, "If something should happen to my husband, something dangerous, or he'd be killed, I know that you will bring him back home safely to me." In 2002, they both helped to bring a Vatican Museum's collection to Texas Tech University Museum. Both did. I don't know if the family knows, but Laura Bush at that time, the First Lady, was invited to come by your mother's and your father's letter to her. I had nothing to do with getting into politics. He was Republican. Try to be a little humorous so that I can get through this. Don't mind. Both Louise and Giles served as treasurers on the board of directors of the Vatican Museum's collections, both becoming patrons of the arts of the Vatican Museums. It was also Louise who encouraged her husband to provide financing for the education. And I know this simply because I was around. More than 300 Texas Tech students and those in Austin as well. They both paid for the tuitions of about 20 students each year for over 15 years that I know of. I'm going to try to get through this. I kind of feel like I did when I lost my mother and dad. Two other significant people. It was always Louise who encouraged him that he preferred not to speak of than philanthropic endeavors. So it would not diminish, she said, begin quote, diminish the good that it would do for others. She wanted, and she said to me a week before she left and returned to her Creator, I asked her a question. How are you doing and have you been doing since Giles has been gone 4 years? How are you managing it? She said, I play like he's on a longer trip than usual. And I wait. And I wait. And I wait for him to return. That seems to help, she said. So you see, I think you cannot talk about one without the other. And I remember that scripture passage in the wedding where they were married, you know how many years? More than the average American, I assure you. Okay. They equally mourned the death of their second daughter, Pamela Ann McQuarrie, up to their final lives on this earth. She died on September 29th, 1979, at the age of 35. I remember Louise encouraging me to have Giles talk about her more often. She was very concerned about him. I spent most of my time intimately sharing with Louise and not Giles about Pamela. I cannot imagine a mother and how they must feel when they lose a significant other. Their daughter Mary L. McQuarrie and Giles McQuarrie were equally loved. Loved and provided for with the means that would they could use, begin quote, Louise, that they could use, that they deemed important to make of their lives without the detriment of others, end quote. Clancy Brazil was not only their attorney before his unexpected death, but a close, respected friend. Each of us here, and many are who are not able to be here, experienced volumes of Louise's behind the scenes, her role in our lives, maybe distant for some, but never being forgotten by others. What I learned from Giles and Louise, that no one lives in isolation unless they choose to do so. And if they choose to do so, they will learn many hard lessons. These two were not two individuals, they were one. And they may well help us to merge into an interconnectedness and our oneness equally shared with what God has given to us. I think I got through this. Okay. But I will say one more thing that's not written. When we lose people that we love and like, and all of you have, and we look into all of you, very special people in our lives, We usually remember two things about them: the good things and the bad things. Sometimes we only dwell on the struggles. But in my relationship with these two is one, and I cannot think of anything but what was good. I cannot recall anything negative that occurred between us during those 40 years. I would miss both of them.
These are the times for the matters of the heart. We have readings from the Holy Scriptures that talk about matters of the heart and the soul. We ask the Reverend Elizabeth Abraham to share with us Holy Scripture and some words about Louise.
From Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And from the Gospel of John, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you? And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. We meet today as family and friends to remember and to celebrate the grand and full life of Louise McCrary, who was truly a strong, beautiful, gracious, faithful, and most generous lady. Louise was genuine, fun-loving, and lighthearted, related easily to people of all ages, loved her animals and the beauty of her backyard, and always had a kind word to say to others. Her friend, Tom McGovern, said, "Louise had a sparkle about her, a deep sense of dignity and quality, as well as a heart full of patience for the wild man she lived with." I last saw Louise in December, around her 97th birthday, and we talked about her amazing life, the incredible experiences she had, how life had evolved from her birth in 1920, and the many wonderful people that enriched her days in unimaginable ways. She also told me she had gotten very tired and would be ready to go whenever the good Lord came for her. But in the meantime, she was grateful that she could stay at home with the help of her many loving and wonderful caregivers. While we are thankful that Louise did not have to linger any longer and was able to die on her terms in her beloved home, we will forever miss her and always thank God for her, as Louise was one of those rare people who always made you feel good in her presence. When I visited Louise, we sometimes shared a glass of wine and what we knew about others and what was going on in the world. We always laughed, and she always asked if there was anyone I knew that could use her help. We got caught up with all that was going on in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. And in her real and caring way, she sent me on my way in better space and spirits than I had come. As we hear stories on this day about her wonderful life that was filled to the brim with quantity and quality, Louise would want us to keep it short, she warned me, to laugh, to give thanks for the incredible gift of life, faith, and friendship, and to leave this church in better space and spirits because of her love and care for each of us. Through the years, Louise found great comfort in her quiet Christian faith, as well as in the fellowship and community she and Giles experienced in this church. Louise was the backbone here for decades. She opened her home for lunches or meetings, made purchases that added to both the aesthetics as well as the upkeep, and always went out of her way to love and serve others. I've been told there was a group of Presbyterian women who met every Wednesday at Joe Cash's pool to eat lunch, to lay out in the sun, swap stories, and share lives and spirits. In addition to their weekly lunches, I have heard that this group, who included Louise and Wanda Mitchell and Frances Camp and Minnie Williams, and I'm sure others who might not want to be named, met daily in the afternoons for cocktails and to give support, perspective, and sanity to what was ever happening in their lives, in the lives of their families. Louise and Minnie Williams talked to each other every day, and Louise still laughed just a few months ago about how Minnie would get upset when she called Louise and Giles would not give Louise the telephone. Louise said she and Minnie had shared life intimately for over 70 years, had traveled, socialized, taught Sunday school together, raised and buried children with each other, loved, nurtured, and complained about their husbands, and painted a meaningful and poignant picture of how faith and friendship truly sustain the essence of our lives from beginning to end. In addition to faith and friendship, Louise's life was also defined in remarkable ways, as Malcolm has said, by Giles and generosity. Giles and Louise grew up in the same Fort Worth neighborhood and had fun skating and taking dancing lessons with each other when they were young. They were married for 72 years and sweethearts all of their lives. Their relationship brought out the best in the other, and through the highs and lows and ordinary in-between times, they gave each other much security, love, and lightheartedness in their life together. Giles truly adored Louise and enjoyed shopping for her, bringing her clothes, trinkets, and presents from the far corners of the earth. While Giles was a man of the world and marched to the beat of his own drum, Louise was a homebody and the one person in his life that could change his plans or lay down the law to him in a heartbeat. Giles and Louise were extremely grateful for the many blessings of their lives, were humbled by all they were able to accomplish and experience, and they truly never took anything for granted. I believe their greatest joy was found in the many ways they were able to use what they had been given in the service of others. Both Louise and Giles loved to give and were intentional about finding ways to anonymously and lavishly bless others and improve the quality of life in the communities of Post, Lubbock, and other Texas towns for decades to come. We will never, ever know the number of college and seminary scholarships, new businesses, hospital and utility bills, large charitable donations to hospitals, nonprofits, and universities, endowed funds and chairs at Texas Tech and its medical school, or the many unknown avenues this life-filled and loving couple use to enhance the well-being of life. Louise's life was never boring, and her simple kindnesses, gentle strengths, and compassionate ways brought much richness and depth to the ordinary experiences of her life and the lives of those she touched. Through her very determined nature, her devotion to others, and her gift of connecting with other people, Louise knew how to make the most of the precious and fragile gift of life we are each given to live. Although her journey through this life is now complete, her loving presence will continue to give us strength, fun memories, many smiles, as well as enduring sustenance for each of us on our own sacred journeys. Louise left us last week with a lot of life in her years and a lot of love, peace, gratitude, and joy in her heart. And from the words of St. Francis, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. where there is injury, pardon, where there is doubt, faith, where there is despair, hope, where there is darkness, light, where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Let us pray. God of life, death, and resurrection, we gather today to remember and to celebrate the life of Louise, to give you thanks for her years in our midst, and to affirm the love, life, fun, and friendship we have all shared with this dear woman. We ask that you will be with her loved ones in this time of grief. Offer comfort, strength, peace, love, and hope in ways that continue to affirm life and nurture faith. We realize, dear God, that our hearts are filled with an essence of life we would not now have without our having loved and been loved by Louise. The gift of her good life reminds us that it is not what we have left when all is said and done, but rather is what we give of ourselves in the service of others as we go about our daily routine that truly makes us all more whole and more well. May we be blessed by the remembrances we will always have. And like Louise, may we be open to the adventure of life and the joy of the journey. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, let us now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Another of the favorite hymns of this woman who saw so much good in us and her world, Be Thou My Vision, hymn 450. We'll sing the first and the last verse, hymn 450. Genesis chapter 2, one verse, verse 18. Then, meaning after he'd created pretty much everything else, then the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. Every single time an event happened around here, a funeral, a wedding, a graduation, I'd often pass along the news to Louise in person or over the phone. She never did have an email address. And this is what she always said. What can I do? How can I help? For ages, that meant she organized, cooked, baked, and called. And later on, she sent help along. And she prayed, a helper fit for all of us. Maybe most especially with Giles, as others have said, he got most of the credit for all the wonderful things they did. But everyone knows she did a lot of the work. Quietly, firmly, and without whom the wheels would have probably come off. Michael has this wonderful image of how far Louise was willing to go to be helpful. In the early days, musical talent around here was in short supply, and Minnie Williams wound up as the church pianist, playing that piano over there, I believe. But Minnie was too short to reach the pedals. So I'm told that when it was needed, Louise would crawl under the piano, probably, you know, again, and work the pedals in order to help make the music. Now, I'm just going to stop for a second and let that mind picture sink in. How can I help? What can I do? She helped honor our life together. I'm told that everything was just a little bit better at her house or when you were with her and when she worked in the community. Whether it was sharing in the oversight of the museum, bringing an artichoke dip to a funeral lunch, or even manning the beer tent for the OS roping competition, went better for the honor and dignity she brought to everything she did. She brought an almost regal demeanor everywhere, and did so without any sense that this was about anything but about you. I've always been touched by how humble has been her service in philanthropy, and that has come from this family, directed by the matriarch. I've been witness to their work for over 23 years, and I still don't know the depth to which their work, their legacy, keeps the wheels on this place. But I know this. Every time I would ever hear of what was done or how deeply this generosity was felt, I never heard Louise take any credit. If anything was said at all, it was something like, I'm fortunate to be able to help. To be able to help. To be the helpmate. With honor and humility and humor. Think of all the times I've laughed loud and long. I think of the times I've been with the people in Louise's orbit. Often with her at the center, maybe not making much noise, but with a bright twinkle in the eye that made you get it. She was getting it all, having fun, and giving plenty back. A partial roll call of that orbit. Dalby, Cash, Mitchell, Mills, Camp, Shiver, Newby, Cannell, Kirkpatrick. Your name here. Smile and remember. I think I first met Louise at Sunday school, and I think of not just meeting her, but meeting Francis and Minnie at the same time. These three grand ladies in microcosm are that orbit. They're very different people in many ways, joined at the heart in the friendship we've all shared. Friendship and laughter. When they laughed together, you knew most of all how deeply they loved each other, and how by living and laughing and loving and serving, the whole was so much greater than the sum of its parts. That's what helping does. It makes us great together. The hardest part about today is we've all sort of lost our mom, which means we've been promoted to serve and to help, to be the greater whole that is the sum of us together. And it's Louise's spirit that inspires us to honor, and in all we do, do it best with humility and with a twinkle of the eye and a laugh from the heart. All of us know Giles was the world traveler, but Louise saw her share of this good creation. But especially later, she kept the home fires going while Giles went back to the Amazon or Bora Bora or some exotic place. But I have an idea that last Tuesday, Giles came calling, telling her, "You got to come along on this one. It's the best one of all." And he would know. And now, so does she. So God bless them together again. And God bless and keep their memory alive with our honor and service and help. Amen. Let us pray. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, we commend Louise, your servant. Acknowledge her, we pray, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock. Receive her into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of all the saints in light. Amen. One more song, which covers it all. One verse of hymn 20, All Things Bright and Beautiful. Hymn 20, first verse. Go into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering. Honor all people. Speak and act with love on your lips and in your heart. Be generous. Honor our life together. Be humble. Share good humor. Love. Amen. Let us go in peace.